The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
All right, thank you, Danny Zetterman. Thank you, Jeff Miller. Hoodie and I back Monday morning at 7 a.m. And thank you to Jeff Dickerson. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing back at Hawthorne Racecourse beginning Friday, October 8th, with a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting and the Points Bet Sportsbook and horse racing as well, thoroughbred style. Get in on all the action with Club Hawthorne and get great picks always on the Odds Couple and with Carmen Yurk from the great Jim Miller.
That's right.
All right, step out of the way. Do you mind? Right, I mean, right, okay, right. Once again, just step at your beacon
there. I hear Jim Miller. I got to promote our guy.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, we know who Jim is.
Carmen Yurko. Pop, 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 pop. He always scares me when I don't know when it's coming.
I don't know. Yeah, it's my fault.
He startles me.
Yeah, he was jumping right in.
Don't worry.
Jimmy's unbelievable.
Don't be startled. I got my own wallet.
Jimmy is startled. Jimmy is... Jimmy's unbelievable. He's been on such a heater on the Odds Couple.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Don't worry about it. I told that guy in New Lenox the same thing. I said, hey, welcome to the White Horse Inn. He was startled. I go, don't worry, I brought my own wallet. You're good.
Wow. Stop it. I have a question for you, John.
Me? Yeah, go ahead.
So Mike Penton is now Bears senior defensive assistant.
Yes, he is.
He was the D coordinator a year ago in Green Bay.
Yep.
How much insight can he truly provide since he was in that building?
He can help the coaches kind of maybe devise a game plan against it, but it'd be hard for him to take what he knows and give it to the players and have the players be able to process it all on the field with the limited amount of time they got to scope everything out and pay attention to what their responsibilities are. So his effects happen with the coaching staff, where the coaches kind of can then anticipate or use his information to anticipate what the other side might do. So that's where he comes into play. Same way that we picked up Jim Miller in Jacksonville when we were playing Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh cut him. We picked him up, got as much information from him. The coaches did. They utilized it. 3 weeks later, we let Jim Miller go.
He got checked for a couple weeks.
Right, and he ended up signing up here. Yeah, Michigan State guy. People loved him up there. Ty Halleck was down there with us.
Good old Ty
Halleck. So Ty loved him.
Ty Halleck. That's a great name.
Oh, yeah. Two fumbles in the game.
Yeah.
First game in 1998.
Yes.
Two fumbles by Ty Halleck in that game. We ended up winning at 28-27.
That's right.
Yeah, came back to get that one.
That was
the phantom Glenn Milburn touchdown.
That was a Yurko game ball. Wasn't that a Yurko game ball game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Yurko game ball game.
Anytime I got on the lakefront, kid, there's game balls being handed out to Johnny Hansen.
Yurko got a game ball.
That's the way it goes, except for the one that on Halloween, October 31st, 1994.
Yes.
That was the Bryce Pop game. That's when Bryce Pop announced himself to the NFL.
Is that the game where it was pouring rain?
Yes, it was the monsoon. Yep.
And they had, Gail Sayers and Dick Butkus get their jerseys retired.
That was the game.
It was awful.
Oh, we got
massacred. It was a mess.
That was also the game
44-0 or something.
Yeah, no, they scored points. They had 6 points, something like that.
It was a massacre.
It could have been 3 points.
Yeah.
Also a game, it was 6 points. They went for a two-point conversion in that one. Because Kevin Butler did not play in that game, which broke his streak consecutive games played. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember that. Just the little lovely nuances of the game
rivalry.
And all that Bears-Packer rivalry.
Let's hope it's different this weekend.
That year, we beat them in a total 73-9.
Right. Yeah, I think that.
73-9, rushed for 200 yards in each game. Oof. Oh, yeah.
Who is that? Is that Dorsey? Or
no, Edgar Bennett.
Edgar Bennett.
And then you signed Edgar Bennett a couple years later.
And he
tore his Achilles tendon.
I remember that.
Yep. And tore his Achilles tendon on you guys.
Did Edgar tear?
That's kind of like the Chicago curse, right?
Yeah.
Someone that beats your ass and you put him on your team and he can't. It's the old Jeff Blauser there.
Right.
And
he gets hurt.
Right.
Ken Reach used to kill the Cubs.
Ken Reach
comes to third base.
Ken Reach.
All of a sudden he can't hit the ball.
Bobby Orr, remember signing with the Hawks at the end. And Paul Coffey. Your mic's off.
We have a trade in the NFL that just went down.
A trade in the NFL?
Where's the breaking news?
What the hell's going on? They're doing their own show over there. Breaking news, Sounder.
There you go.
They're in there. What are you talking about?
Mellor,
politics of dancing over
Mellor,
there.
Mellor, Danny, and Merck. They're not listening to what's in the
this
world.
Is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We turn to get your beak out of it.
Get your beak out.
We turn now to veteran newsman David Kaplan with breaking news during crosstalk. David.
Thank you, Jonathan. We have a trade confirmed by both Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo of ESPN. Zach Ertz has been traded by the Eagles to the Arizona Cardinals.
We turn now to Jeff Mellor for the fantasy ramifications of this deal, Jeff.
Listen, Ertz scored a touchdown last night.
He did?
That's exactly what fantasy owners need to hear. He's a viable tight end for fantasy now. I bet you can start.
Does he play Thursday and Sunday then?
I don't know if you can. Do that, Yerk? Yes, can do that. Did Goddard play last night? Or
no, because he was on the COVID list.
Oh, because COVID list. Okay, gotcha. So he'll be back. And he's been better anyway, really.
Yeah,
right?
And Zach Ertz has a huge cap hit, so it makes sense for the. It's a nice move by the Cardinals.
Yeah.
We turn to analyst John Yerkovich with further analysis on this move. John.
I want the double dip, though, if I'm Zach Ertz. I want a second week check. If I'm playing 18th game. I want a second check. I need to check.
But could
also
you really
come
play
this.
Could you really play like 3 days apart in the NFL?
It depends how many games he played. The tight end position is not the most physical position in the league. Like if you play offensive line,
you play
100% of the plays. It'd be tough for you to be able to rebound in 3-4 days and play right away.
Yeah.
But tight end, depending on how many plays he had and how physical the game was for him.
Okay.
That
would
be
a
question
last night, especially with Goddard out.
How many hits?
I don't know.
By the way, Adam Schefter now weighing in. The trade will send cornerback Tay Gowan and a 2022 fifth-round pick to the Eagles.
Over under on responses on Twitter to Adam Schefter with people being smart Alex asking him if he ran it by Bruce Allen or Nick Sirianni before he...
He already got that yesterday.
Did he?
There's something he tweeted
about. $1,500. He's got like 10 million Twitter followers. So
Schefter's got a chance and an opportunity, it looks like, to go to Caesars gambling.
That's what the rumor is.
Right. So if you're him and you've been given crap this whole time.
Go screw.
At what point are you going to tell them all, listen, I'll go take $3 million and go to Caesars.
I'm with you.
And bring all my followers and this and that, and we'll go over 100%. There and we'll go have a ball.
And be an insider, like we were talking about yesterday. He's not really a journalist. He's an insider. He's not an investigative reporter.
Unless it doesn't make a difference, dude. That's a bad look. When you're having a general manager. And I understand maybe he's got to go ahead and massage shoulders to get information. But you compromise.
You know a lot of them have done it.
Compromise.
You're right.
Well, that's the problem.
I know.
You know, like I said, journalism is dead.
Yeah.
It really true. Oh, no, it's dead.
Cross him off then.
It is gone.
He's an insider.
Cross him off the list. Yes.
You know.
Journalism is dead.
If I were Adam, I'd be. Yeah.
Caesar. Well, you know what? That's a longer conversation that if journalism is dead.
I agree.
Here's why.
Me and you should go on Channel 11 and chat about this, whether journalism is dead.
Hey, Ponce, your beak out of it. We've got some thoughts. Get out of the way. You got out of the way. And Lester Munson, get out of here with your suspenders.
I love Lester.
Now, let's talk about it.
That's like,
no, but that's a longer conversation. Here's why. So when did journalism die? When we start asking our journalists to give opinion, that's when it changed, right?
Cable news, right? I mean, isn't that kind of when...
Well, cable sports as well.
Yeah.
You're asking Adam Schefter, who used to be a regular on here, his opinion about sports. He was lousy. You know why? Because he was a newsman. He wasn't an opinion guy. He was a newsbreaker. We'd ask him, like, obvious questions about certain things, and he would just give you... You had him as a regular.
Yep.
Benign. Because he wasn't an opinion guy. He was a journalist. But people don't want that anymore. They want
he wasn't an analyst.
They want the take. They don't want the journalism.
Agreed. Danny.
Well, I was just going to say, in a related story to the Schefter thing, Sham Sharania, who's a regular guest on with you guys, Carmen Yurko, he's getting in a lot of hot water, and he's getting a lot of heat for the way he reported the Kyrie Irving stuff. Because, when Kyrie Irving said he wasn't going to get vaccinated because he wanted to be the voice of the people, people thought that Sham's take on it had a positive slant, like patting Kyrie on the back. And he got a lot of crap nationally for that.
Because he's in injecting
he should have just
some
reported the
opinion.
Facts instead of kind of putting in there a positive spin.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think that we all know that every writer has someone that they can get information from right away.
You have to.
You're in someone's camp.
Can't do the job otherwise.
You're in someone's camp, right? That could be anybody in basketball, the football, the same thing. They're like, you will have more of an idea like Nightingale with the White Sox and with Dusty. He knows because he's firmly entrenched in that camp. He's not saying that he's going to defend them, but if someone wants the story first, Nightingale will have it.
Correct.
That's all.
And there's so much competition to be first. It's like, they have these relationships that maybe aren't what pure journalism should be about, but I don't know how you do the job without it. And I don't know how much of Adam's email to Bruce Allen was like a little tongue-in-cheek, like, hey, editor, look, look, the kind of relationship they have where it may have been sort of just, you know, a little bit of jokey between the two of them. I don't think he was really expecting. Maybe he was. I don't know. It'd be terrible to think that if he told him, well, you have to change this, this, and this, and then Adam did it, that would be bad. I agree. That'd be awful.
Unless
he was telling him that you're factually incorrect on a fact, that's one thing. But I mean, like, if it was, well, Bruce's slant on everything, and that's right. The way Adam formulated it, right. That would have been bad.
Correct.
But
if Bruce said, what you're writing is inaccurate.
This is what is accurate. Look, that's where these guys get their info from. That's who their sources. That's who their sources are.
Correct.
They're all supposed to be private emails, too, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Private emails, private
another
communication.
Email, another leak is out now. Jeff Posh,
if I had to guess, if everybody's emails were scrutinized over the course of time, everybody would be fired. Am I right?
A lot of people.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
We're not all angels. We're all sinners, kid. There's not one angel in the
group.
Did
you think that Gruden should have been removed from the Ring of Honor?
No, absolutely not.
I'm with you.
Something that already happened. Absolutely.
He was the coach of the team that won this. What, are you going to strike him for the record book, too?
I'm thinking about hiring a plane to go up there and put John Gruden, coach of the Super Bowl champion, whatever year it was, 2002, 2003, and just flying it for 3 hours above Tampa Stadium.
It'll happen.
Who made the point last night? Like somebody said Antonio Brown sure gets celebrated, but take John Gruden out of there.
Listen, Kareem Hunt got a second chance. Listen, this is a country where you get second chances, Carm. If you're incarcerated, you go to jail, you serve your time, you come out, you did your debt to society, now you come out, you get a second
chance. Mike Vick's on
why
the TV pregame.
Yeah, I don't know that those are apples to apples comparisons.
You're right, because those who committed crimes like that are even worse. I agree with you.
Well, I would say that
It's against the law.
Okay, but I don't even mean at that level. Okay. I mean, the problem with ever hiring somebody like Gruden is you know who he is now. That wasn't one email. It's a whole plethora of emails where he's a very anybody that's not exactly like him is beneath him. That's so, what those emails display.
That makes for a tough
work environment.
What did he call Roger Goodell?
I don't recall, to be honest.
It rhymes with blank willow.
Okay, yes. Blank a doodle doo.
Blank willow.
Yeah. But I mean, it's very much.
And so what? You've never called
anybody?
I've never called anybody that. Really?
Well, he's railing against female officials. A female can't adjudicate an NFL game? Come on. A gay person can't play in the NFL?
Kid, I'm not saying being a bigot is right.
Well, you kind of are when you say hire him again.
No, but it's a death note. Well, 5 years from now, why wouldn't I hire him?
Well, because he's a bigot.
Big deal.
But big deal. How can you say that?
Big deal.
And it creates...
You can't hire a guy who's a bigot?
I don't think you should if you know it, because I think it creates a very toxic
work environment.
Guess
what you've done? You've eliminated 90% of your workforce. I can't operate
with just
10%.
That seems to be an arbitrary number.
Well, I mean, an arbitrary number that's probably damn true.
Well, how do you know that?
I know. Mean, none of us are sinners. I know. None of us.
Nobody's saying that.
We're all angels.
But... I'm not perfect.
Hey, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm not perfect either, York. But I mean, when
I don't pretend to be perfect.
I think you got an inside look of the way he thinks, and I think it'd be tough to bring it into an organization.
Well, I spent 4 years with the man too.
I know you did.
So
30-something years ago.
Yeah.
Well, you bought donuts, kid.
Yeah, I would.
25 years ago.
I would also say this for those that say, "Well, Warren Sapp's numbers should be down, or he should be in the." Well, here's the thing about that. Make sure that's a first guess. One of the problems in this country is, yes, John Gruden, he's wrong, but what about? Well, if two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, call out the Warren Sapp and have his name taken down if that's what you want to do. But don't give me the, I know what John Gruden did, but what about? Not what about. If you have a problem with it, say it at the time. Don't come in Johnny come lately.
Yeah, my dilemma is once they're honored, they're honored. That's it. They're up there. That's it.
Well, you could.
We did it to celebrate.
You treat it like they had the Hall of Fame, right?
You celebrate.
OJ's bust is in the Hall of Fame.
You celebrate it.
Ty Cobb.
Yeah. You know, you celebrate. Yeah. Is Rich McKay's name in the Ring of Honor? It should be.
It should.
He drafted those guys.
Yes.
Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp.
I would think
so. And remember, they did that when Warren Sapp was, you know, when back when weed was bad. Remember?
Yeah.
You remember those times when weed was bad? Oh, ganja, the evil weed. And they took a chance and a flyer on him because the talent was there. Boy, that's why they did.
Boy, Rich McKay left quickly, didn't he?
Ooh.
Hmm, Rich McKay. Boy, he left quickly. I wonder why.
Did he?
Gruden, yes. Where'd he left. He left in the middle of the seat after a successful season. He left the year after.
Oh, Rich McKay did?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well, what happened, John?
Well, there's something there with
something
him and Gruden.
Was going on?
I think something him and Gruden.
Him and John had something going on?
I believe there were words.
Oh, words were changed.
I believe there was words.
There we words were exchanged.
Yep. Exchange, shotgun blast, trouble
John
times.
John was a lot more powerful then.
Well, right? Well, exactly right.
So he won.
Gruden is a lot to deal with, clearly, right?
Well, he basically was making the calls in Vegas, too, right?
He will never coach again.
I don't think
Mike Mayock.
No, I don't know.
No, he'll probably never coach, but could consult.
And I think Mike Mayock will be the next guy out the door.
Who had? I was wondering who had more like say in personnel decisions, Mayock or Gruden? I would think Gruden.
I
don't know for sure.
Yeah. It was Gruden. Technically, it was 51-49%. That's what.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize.
$100 million contract. Yeah, says you got a lot of power.
Gruden's got a lot of power.
Let me tell you also, Gruden had two war rooms for the draft.
His war room and then the one everybody else was
in.
You know, they had a golden opportunity of getting those two picks from the Bears. They kind of botched that.
That's why you don't draft running backs.
That's why you don't take running backs.
They kind of botched it. So.
Well, the communication flow sucks when you have two different sets of people looking at your draft.
Yeah, that's...
What is that, Sonny Weaver walking in? I already turned the card in.
Sonny Weaver.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Here we go now.
Seriously.
Sonny Weaver again.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's time. We got to end it now.
All right, Yerk.
Sonny Weaver Jr.
There we go. That's it. All right, boys. Have a good weekend.
All right, that's one of the spirited great, discussion.
That's
Thank
one
you.
Of the great Guys, movies of all time.
2 days in a row, you've outstayed your welcome here, all right? So it's time to go.
All right, Hoodie, have a great weekend.
Thanks, man.
See you, Carmen Yerk. Bye. They are next.
Unbelievable.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
I've been kicked out of better places.
See ya.
See what Carmen and Yurko were talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Football Friday, Carmen and Yurko. We talked a lot of Bears and Packers today. Maybe sprinkle in a little baseball. I mean, I think we got to talk about the events of last night. Yurko's going to give us his bear necessities during the 11 o'clock hour.
They're
we'll
coming
have
up.
Todd Furman live in Vegas just after 11:30. Mike North will have the bonus play. How about this as a bonus? Paige Sporanek is going to join us.
Nice.
At 11.
Nice.
I don't know if Paige has got roughly
3.4 Instagram followers. She's got 455,000 Twitter followers.
She's a sensation. She does stuff with points, but she's going to be in town at the Crestwood location, I think, for like a Bears-Packers watch party at the Crestwood location. She's a former professional golfer. She played at Arizona, and she's just a sensation on Instagram. And so she's coming into town for some Bears-Packers stuff. We'll have fun talk to her in like 30 minutes. But that'll be a fun Football Friday show. Week 6 kicked off last night, Yurko, with another home team losing. Home teams are now 38-42 straight up this season. Home team since the start of 2020. And I know last year was a COVID year and the stands were empty.
Yeah.
Home teams have a losing record since the start of last season. Never happened before in an NFL season.
That is a statistical anomaly.
How about that, Yurko?
Yeah.
Have a losing record, 38-42, but an underdog did cover. The Eagles got the cover.
Yeah.
Getting the 7.
Was it just me or did I see Antonio Brown going into the end zone with about 2 minutes left on the clock? Was that just me? Was there a penalty there?
I'm trying to think what got them down.
It was before the two-minute warning.
Before the two-minute warning.
Yeah. They're on the 9-yard line, first play. I'm watching Antonio Brown catch a pass go into the end zone. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I'm good.
I might have directed my attention to the baseball game at that point because I'm trying to remember. Next time I looked up when they were driving and I was worried about a field goal because I had the Eagles getting the 7, they got the first down and they got to the 2-minute warning and the Eagles were out of timeouts. So they took a knee.
Yes.
So I don't know exactly. I might have shifted my attention to the baseball game.
I'm going to look at the play-by-play.
I watched the game. I'm trying to remember.
There's 2:24 on the clock.
Brown did not.
I don't remember,
I watched it, Yurk, so I'm trying to remember what you're thinking of.
Well, whatever they showed on the clock, obviously I was in conversation.
Yeah.
and I looked up. It could have been something from previous.
I was just going to say, I bet you it was a replay because he did score a touchdown.
He did have a touchdown, yes.
So I bet you you caught.
That was so frustrating. I'm like, he's in, and it's going the same direction.
Did you have the Bucs minus seven?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Going the same direction. It's 28-7. I'm like, ha!
I know.
Oh, we're in good shape.
I know.
And I'm like, come on. Philadelphia missed a field goal, too. I'm thinking, this has got to be. It's got to be good for me.
I thought I was in bad shape with the six. I will say nothing nefarious there. People were wondering, why would Nick Sirianni go? What's happening? Nick Sirianni did the right thing. When you're down 14 on the first touchdown, you always go for two. This has been.
Right.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in the last couple of years.
Not to be argued, but you know what? If you bet Tampa, you're pissed.
Well, yeah.
But at least you had a chance. If you went for two and he missed, now your cover is in.
Yes. From a probability standpoint, the absolute correct move to win the game, from a probability standpoint, is by going for two on the first touchdown. They did it. They got it. They made it a six-point game, and they covered. So, no, nothing nefarious whatsoever. That is actually the correct call from the head coach. Not all of them will do it, but as more and more young coaches that are very analytically minded come into the game, they know those probability charts. They have people telling them right away. And the probability to win the game tells you you should go for two when you're down 14. So that's
To clarify, like if it's like the 14, they had scored the touchdown, bringing them to down by eight at that point.
Correct.
So
Well,
you know what I'm saying? To clarify, if
you're down two touchdowns, that's what I mean. When you get that first one, you should always go to try to make it a 6-point game because it increases your odds of winning the football game and not going to overtime. Yes, that's correct.
I concur.
When you get it to eight, Jeff, that's right. Yes. So you want to make it six. Absolutely. The odds are very much in your favor. All right, we're going to talk a bunch of Bears-Packers coming up here. 312-332-3776. And we do have to spend some time on the end of what I thought was an absolutely fantastic baseball game that had a really tough disappointment.
That's a 2-1 game fantastic baseball game.
Yurko tells you all the time, you can't get those. And we got it last night, folks. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Well, we were treated to a great baseball game last night. 2-1 can still be good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially in that type of situation. Elimination game.
Game five.
Good pitching.
Very good pitching. I mean, is Logan Webb their new Madison Bumgarner out there? I mean, they lost the series, but holy cow. What, 14 innings in his first two playoff starts? One earned run? Hello.
That's pitching. That's some pitching going
People
on.
People wondered what Dave Roberts was doing with the bullpen guys. He started Corey Knebel and then into Gratterall.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing? The thinking there is that, hey, if we get a chance to score early, we don't have to lift Urias, right? That's the philosophy, Meller? If we get runners on, we don't have to worry about our pitcher. We'll just pinch hit the reliever.
Well, that's part of it, but I think it's also because Urias is, you know, in terms of matchups, what you're putting the Giants, instead of allowing them to stack the top of the order against Urias, what you do with the opener is now who's the opposing hand. You know what I'm saying? You make the Giants commit to either burning potential late inning pinch hitters, at the top of the order. Or you put them at a huge disadvantage that first time through, knowing that when Arias comes back around, you know what I'm saying, he's going to have the split advantage.
So they're one of those heavy analytic teams that we talk about, pretty heavy analytic decision. It worked out. They got it done. They win. I mean, Cody Bellinger had a terrible year, comes through at the biggest moment. I mean, isn't that baseball? Isn't that sports sometimes? That's baseball. Cody Bellinger Ron Darling put it well. What did he say? He goes, it was something like it was a wasted season. He was hurt. He was terrible. He couldn't figure it out. He was hitting seventh in the lineup. It was like it was a wasted year. And then in the biggest moment when they needed a hit
of the year,
Cody Bellinger did it for him.
Up to this point.
Are you kidding?
And this could propel him for the rest of the playoffs and into the World Series. You don't know.
It was great. It reminded me last night of, it was Griffey, scoring to beat the Yankees in 95. It was one of those great, like, tense. It was Kirby Puckett's home run. What was that, 91, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like one of these tense, you know,
see
like,
you tomorrow night, right?
Yeah,
see you tomorrow night.
I mean, it was one of those games. It was like a throwback game. It was great. It shouldn't have ended that way. It can't end, you know, like on a just a botched call. And why it's not reviewable, I don't know.
Check swing.
That wasn't even close.
It's too subjective. That's the problem.
Are you aware of the poetic justice in that?
I don't know if I am. So this.
I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't remember this.
So Wilmer Flores and.
Yes, and
Max Scherzer obviously have a history. They were in the same division against each other for a while.
Yeah, but this is actually more directly related to the Giants and Dodgers this season.
Oh, okay.
So apparently, earlier in the year, the Giants won a game on what many believe was a blown call by the ump on a check swing.
Oh.
So the Giants ended up beating the Dodgers in this head-to-head matchup earlier in the season. And who won the division, Carm?
The Giants. By how many games?
Correct.
Oh, my God. And so I didn't realize
that. They would be playing at L.A. as opposed to San Francisco last night had that call not gone that way. So a lot of Dodgers fans who were getting, you know, taking crap from Giants fans on Twitter last night were like, whoa, slow your roll here.
Stop the clock.
Remember what happened earlier in the season.
Hey. Wow, I did not know that.
Stop the clock, baby.
There's some poetic justice, some irony, I guess, right? That's not coincidence. That's irony, I think.
That's what I was thinking about this morning. Right? I was like, is this actually irony?
I don't know. I don't know. That's incredible. I mean, it's just, you hate to see a playoff game end like that, though.
The Braves are going to win anyway, so.
You think the Braves are going to win?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bold. +185 in the series.
Oh, boy, you should take it. You should go ahead and put your $10 on that.
What makes you think Braves, Mark?
I like their rotation, and I like...
Like Charlie Morton, like Ian Anderson?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a...
You not like Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler?
I do, yeah.
Do you know
that's
the first save in Max Scherzer's career? First save. There were a lot of cool things that happened last night. You got to admit. I mean, it was a great baseball game. And it seemed like a lot of people were into it. I mean, Twitter erupted at the end, obviously, with the blown call.
But, right, with the call.
But, you know, it's... How about this, too? Back to the opener for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to, like... Can you imagine how your head would explode... And I don't know how many years ago you want to go back, if I told you in an elimination game, the player who won 20 games, the starting pitcher who won 20 games that season was not going to start the game, but was going to come in as a reliever in the third inning.
It'd be like saying, Mellor, it'd be like in 05, let's say. The White Sox, to eliminate the Red Sox in Fenway Park, turned to Cliff Polite to start the game. Right,
I mean it's.
Right,
but
you're right.
David
Arnt. I don't think Arnsman was on that team. Was Rocky Biddle on the 05 team? I don't think so. I'm trying to think of some of the other relievers. Kelly Wunsch was gone. Hermanson was hurt at that point. Shingo was gone at that point. Who else was it? It was Jenks. It was Neil Kotz, maybe.
Dustin Hermanson.
Can you Ozzy going to the podiums? No, but Hermanson's back was already toast at that point. He wasn't pitching. It would have been like Neil Kotz. Like the White Sox are going to go to Neil Kotz.
But the thing is, like, think about it. Like, not even that, though. He's a 20-game winner. Like, think about how much stock we used to put in wins.
Oh, my God.
Like, everything about it's
oh
like,
God.
But I
oh,
just
I
accept
put stock
it.
In wins.
A lot of people, yeah, no, and listen, there is, you can make the argument that the win stat has some relevance. It's just, is it overvalued? Nevertheless,
it's amazing.
A 20-game winner. Came in relief.
And it worked. Sylvie asked a question yesterday on Waddle and Sylvie, and he said, if we all can get it from an analytic standpoint, he said, just from an aesthetic standpoint, maybe, or just as a fan, do you like that? Do you want, I mean, is that, as a baseball fan, do you want to see that? Corey Knebel starting a do-or-die elimination game, and he's out in an inning?
Well, no,
and it's an interesting question.
It makes sense if you're a fan of a team and you're rooting for them.
You want them to do it.
Put me in the best position.
Right. But as a baseball fan.
Yes. The romanticism of baseball.
Right.
And the starting pitcher going out there and in an elimination game, the idea of him maybe gritting his way through to this performance that we saw from Logan Webb.
Yes,
like
correct.
That is October baseball. Right. That's what's fun about it, at least of our youth, right?
Yes, it was like Jack Morris, Madison Bumgarner. It's like, here's Logan Webb. He's going to be allowed to go seven. That's great. I think it's part of the problem that baseball faces. I love baseball, but this is part of the problem. It's decisions like that. It's how it's perceived. Does it grab people from other markets when it's not just your team? You're like, okay, do whatever you think is best to win, and I'm on board. I'm a fan. I'm going to back you. We're going to be analytic. Let's do it. And they won last night. But everywhere else that was in L.A., are you like, what do I want to watch? What do I want to watch Corey Knebel start a game for? The game is slow. There's not as much action. It's decisions like that. I think it's part of the problem that baseball faces. Doesn't matter for me. I love it. I'll watch it. Doesn't matter for Meller. Doesn't matter for Merck. But it matters for a lot of other people.
Matters to me.
Yeah, to Yerk and young fans,
I don't watch baseball sometimes because I enjoy it as much as I have to.
I know.
Well, you know,
and
what?
So, like, I do think it's part of the challenge that baseball faces.
I love a good taffy pull, but when the taffy pull's 4.5 hours long.
I mean,
yeah,
listen,
like games are long. With the White Sox.
Well, oh, yeah, that was a problem. That was, you're right.
Games were long.
That game three Sunday night, they won, but it was rough.
So, and Tuesday. I mean, Sunday and Tuesday were long-ass games.
But at least they won on Sunday, you know.
That's
but
true.
You know what, Carm? Maybe you'll see this with Gio. Like, my son Alex plays the show virtually every day. So, you know, he's learning about different baseball players. But it's funny because they have, like, these retro cards of the all-time greats. And he'll come in and he'll, like, discover someone like Pedro Martinez. Because all of a sudden the show releases a Pedro Martinez card and he's playing with him in the game. And he's like, is he the best pitcher ever? You know, how does he compare to someone of like today, some of the best players have today? And it's hard to even quantify this, the best pitcher in today's age versus guys who pitched, you know,
20 years ago.
Exactly. And that's it. It was only 20 years ago.
Yeah. 15 years ago.
Yeah. It's not like it's 50 years ago.
No, no, you're right.
Yeah.
The White Sox thing in 05 was less than 20 years ago, guys. It might as well have been the 100 years ago. The idea that four pitchers in a row would go back-to-back-to-back-to-back complete games. Think about that. That might as well be 100 years ago. You know,
and that was against the Angels.
It was.
Right.
It was
That's just for people that don't remember.
That was in the ALCS.
That was in the ALCS against the Angels. And we're out there for a couple of those games.
I was not. You were. You, Mac, and Harry were. By the way, today's HT's birthday, I think. Our old buddy.
Oh, Tynowitz on the 15th. You bet it is.
Happy birthday, Harry Tynowitz. Famous playwright now.
He's got something coming.
What is Harry foot? 58, 59?
No, 61. 61, 61? I think, yeah.
Oh, 61. Yeah.
Harry's
got to play. 60 or 61, one of the two.
He's 61, huh? He looks good for 61.
He's got a play that he wrote with Spike Manton. And the guy who was on Frasier. Remember the guy who played the... The obnoxious
Bulldog.
Sport, yes.
Yeah, Bulldog.
That guy is playing Harry in a play in Chicago.
Yes.
That's called, When Harry Met Rehab. Which is a great title, I have to say.
Well, it's a classic Tynowitz right there. So he's winning. Yeah. Happy birthday, HT.
Oh, when Harry Met Rehab.
Come, give me one Harry joke. The volleyball one, the rotate.
Give us the one you told on the bus in London. That Harry's told 1,000 times, and Harry could never get anybody to laugh.
Well, I'll tell a different one.
You told it to a fresh audience, and people were dying.
I don't want to get canceled, so I'll tell a different one.
Just tell a clean joke, please.
Yes. You know, I used to play water polo, and then my horse drowned. nobody laughed that hard when Harry delivered it. Happy birthday, HT.
Hey, happy birthday. The other one Harry did was I stayed at a Motel 6 and the maid was knocking on the door.
No, that's the one I wasn't going to tell.
So I let her out. Yeah.
Thanks, Jerko. That's the one I told on the bus.
Well, that one's not dirty.
Well, I don't know. You never know. It's very
imagination.
The maid was knocking on the door, so I let her out. Yeah.
When Harry Met Rehab, playing soon at the Greenhouse Theater, if you want to check it out. Plug for
that,
our man, HT.
That's right. I got to put a three-liner together for that, you know. I laughed, I cried, then I saw Harry naked. No.
Dude, that's it. Put it in. Put it on the marquee. I laughed, I cried, and
then I saw Harry naked.
And I cried again.
John Yurkovich.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more Bears-Packers. We got to start diving into the numbers, talk about this Damian Williams thing. Yurko's going to give you the keys, the bare necessities in about 30 minutes. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We're 5 weeks and one game into the NFL season, Yurko. The Chicago Bears are fifth in defensive DVOA. Fifth, Yurk. They face the 11th toughest schedule of offenses so far. And as ugly as it was the first week in L.A., and some of that is probably just McVay's genius. Like, you remember the numbers, McVay. He's never lost on opening week. The offense scores like 34 a game. I think he spends all offseason being the mad creative genius that he is. And their game plans are just good and they execute, right? Like, they blow the doors off of everybody in week one.
Right.
Now, I don't want to make excuses for the Bears. I mean, it was ugly, but think about that. Even with that game, they faced the 11th toughest schedule of offenses so far. They're fifth in DVOA. They're second in adjusted sack percentage in the NFL behind only Carolina. They're first in total sacks with 18. They're doing it without blitzing. They're not blitzing a lot.
Well, they're not blitzing a lot.
But he hasn't really had to.
You will see Roquan Smith coming in on that blitz because he's got himself a sack. A real nice swim move of a running back to get back in there. You'll change it up every once in a while. But remember what I said. If you can get there with four, that makes your defensive secondary better.
Even better.
Right? You haven't seen Vildor kind of exposed since the first game.
Roquan's played great. Jalen Johnson, from a metric standpoint, Yerk, opposing quarterbacks, I believe, have a passer rating of 43 when throwing at Jalen Johnson.
Okay.
Do you think he's playing as well when you watch him as that stat would indicate?
I don't think so, but that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, they've got a stat out there to support that he's playing pretty effective football. Okay, and that's fine. And like I said, I think he's coming into his own.
Yeah.
And you wanted to see him take that next step. I think a lot of credit's got to go to the pass rush.
Okay.
The pass rush is making forcing everything guys to get look the ball better. Quick. That's why Fuller doesn't look as good the last couple of years. He got paid. He went to the Pro Bowl, had seven interceptions. And because that pass rush struggled, Khalil Mack wasn't what he was. Robert Quinn definitely wasn't what he was.
Not last year.
No, yeah. For sure. Yeah. And the extra time back there exposed defensive backs. That's what happens. That's why a great pass rush makes the defensive secondary look good. A great defensive secondary doesn't necessarily make your pass rush that much better. Yeah.
Unless you're talking like,
you know what I'm saying?
Darrell Revis on one side and Deion Sanders on the other. You know, then maybe, right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
And Darrell Revis had a short run.
Yeah, he was great. You're right. It was short.
Yeah, his run was like a 3-4 year run.
Yeah.
Held out, got paid, and then after that, he was just kind of...
Who would you say? Barry Sanders and who then? Not Barry Sanders. Excuse me. Deion Sanders. I'm sorry if I said Barry. Deion Sanders.
Aeneas Williams.
There you go. Aeneas Williams.
Aeneas Williams.
Boom. Let's say hi to Daryl in Aurora. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, gentlemen. Great show, as always. A couple statistics. I think, Yurko, you'd appreciate this. You played on the line. Third down efficiency. Bears are going to win that battle. And time of possession, if the Bears can have like a, you know, anywhere from like a 35 to 25 in their favor ratio. But I think the Bears defense has to score like they did against, was it Cincinnati? Yes. And it was a second game.
Yes.
And, you know, I'd like to see the Bears special teams come to life a little bit.
You and me both.
Yeah, Yurko's been saying that forever.
I've been begging the special teams to do anything since Dave Tobe left. Well, I think he got a little something out of Corduroy Patterson when Corduroy was back there.
Yeah, you did, absolutely.
He had a return or two there for you. But the special teams hasn't really provided any spark. You're going to get 10 possessions is what Green Bay's going to get. 10 to 12 possessions. Usually that's what happens in a game. You've got to be able to stop them on five of those possessions, and you've got to be able to force field goals on another. That's it.
And then you got a chance.
That's it. That's your recipe right there.
Daryl just hit on a great point when he talked about third down efficiency. This is something that the Bears have struggled with. Which team can stay on the field, get off the field, that kind of thing. The Bears offensively right now, you ready for this, boys?
I am.
32nd, dead last in the NFL, in DVOA on third and fourth down offensively this season. You know who's number one? The Green Bay Packers. That's a disparity I don't like, as much as I think the Bears can hang around, keep it close, and cover the number this week. That's ugly. When you're that inefficient on third and fourth down, 32nd in the NFL on third and fourth down,
the two strengths,
the Packers are number one.
Of each football team are going to oppose each other, and that's going to be the exciting part of this game. When the Green Bay offense is up against the Bears defense, that's when you've got the two strengths of both teams going after each other. The Bears defense is going to have to win this game for the Bears, okay? Now you got the weakness. The Packers' defense is not that great.
No, and
it's injured. Got a lot of injuries. It cannot get to the quarterback.
Right.
It's got a problem getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay? So you got that Packers' defense against an offense that, face it, has been simplified because of your offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. Lazor's going to look. He said, we can't do anything. We can't have a repeat of what happened against Cleveland.
Right, right.
So we've got to simplify this to the point of simply hand off right, hand off left. Let's throw a screen pass. Sorry, it's the computer.
It's okay.
Screen pass. Anything to simplify things. You cannot exploit. Listen, you're not playing the Detroit Lions.
Mm-mm.
The Detroit Lions were terrible. Their defense was terrible. They could not rush the passer. If you remember in that game, Fields could drop back, plant his foot, step up to and make the throw going into the, mm-hmm. you know, he's making the throw going toward the line of scrimmage. And he is driving the ball downfield. Okay? That's the one game where Justin Fields looked like a world beater, where he looked absolutely fantastic. And then we hope that with his legs, he can do the same kind of damage other quarterbacks have been able to do over the course of time. Yesterday's game, Jalen Hurts was the guy that kept plays alive and had positive yardage, right?
Yeah.
He single-handedly kept Philadelphia in that game yesterday.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's what Fields is going to have to do. Weakness against weakness, Bears offense against the Packer defense, strength against strength. And when the Bears defense is on the field against the Packer offense, that's the show.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. That's the show.
Packers just a touch below league average in sack adjusted sack rate right now. So Yurko's right. Not getting home a ton, just a little bit below average. And Bears are very good, as we just told you, second best in the NFL behind only Carolina with an adjusted sack percentage of 10%. Sit tight if you're on the phones, 312-332-3776. We'll take some Bears Packers calls. Yurko's Bear Necessities in about 15-20 minutes. And Paige Sporanek is going to join us when we come back in 2 minutes.